In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, today we consider our Lord Jesus' ascension. We observe it. It's normally on a Thursday, 40 days right after Easter, but we'll observe it today at Mount Calvary. And there are two primary texts that we consider the Lord's ascension, one from Luke chapter 24 and the other from Acts chapter 1. I'll read sections of each. Luke 24, Jesus led out his disciples as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And from Acts chapter 1, when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Dear saints, finish this sentence. My life is busy, stressful, a mess. My life is blessed. My life is pretty good. However you might answer that question today, I think we can all agree on one thing. It is a pretty decently easy answer to come up with. There is, after all, nothing that I think about more than me and my life, my days, my feelings, my health, my family, and even my church. You, dear saints. This past Thursday was Ascension Day. We're considering today. And Ascension Day has us do something that is so absolutely necessary. It has us looking outside of ourselves, and it has us looking up. You know, there's a story from the Gospel of St. Luke about a woman that Jesus encounters. And this woman, it says, has a weak or disabled spirit. And the spirit had her bent over for 18 years. She couldn't straighten herself. That's you, dear saints, without Jesus. We have a weak, disabling spirit in our sinful flesh. It keeps us looking on things below. It keeps us looking on ourselves most of the time. It keeps us saying, my family, my life, my stuff, my health, my money. It keeps us thinking about me. It keeps our minds set on things below. But when Jesus sees this woman so hunched over, she couldn't straighten herself. 18 years this woman had a weak or disabled spirit. Jesus calls her over. He calls her with his freeing voice, and he says, "Woman, you are loosed. You are freed from your disability, from your illness." Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. That's a miracle. And Ascension Day is a miracle. And you being a Christian is a miracle. Because it is by our own sinful nature and inclination to keep our minds set on things below, to be curved in on ourselves, to be hunched over. But that's not what you do as a Christian. You glorify God. You thank God. You praise God because you know that He is the one who straightened you up. You know that He is the one who has freed you. You know the spirit that you have within you, but that you also might know you have the Holy Spirit so near to you that you might set your mind on the things of the Spirit, which is freedom and life and peace. St. Paul says that God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. God did for this woman what the law could not do. The law would have said to you, and the law said to this woman, to straighten yourself up, to free yourself, to lift yourself up, to get rid of your own weak, sick, and disabled spirit. But that is not what Jesus does. He frees her. He lifts her up. He takes her hunched over disabled spirit and he straightens her. And she does what she can only do. She lifts God up. She glorifies Jesus. That's what Ascension Day has us doing. Glorifying God. Beginning again to see his power and his reign and his majesty and his immenseness. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, Mr. Griffin had read. Christ seated at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, St. Paul read. And Mr. Griffin read for you today. Ephesians chapter 1. Every king of the earth has their reign ended when they die. But Christ's reign as God and man began after he died and rose and ascended at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, which is everywhere. Everywhere, dear saints. He is ruling everywhere and for the sake of his church, for us who believe, for me and for my life. Because I don't belong to me anyway. I was bought with a price. He is above all, over all, King of kings, death of death, bondage of sin, captor of the devil, defeater of those who abuse power, the end of the law's accusation. And as he began his reign, I want you to see the last image that he wants everybody to see. It is of him lifting up his hands to bless them, to give them a good word. That's what the word blessing means. A bestowal of a good word from him to them, from him to you, from a greater to a lesser. He lifts up his hands to bless you. Do you know what he could have done with those hands to them and to us? We deserve for him to have grabbed us and to have thrown us into prison. We are criminals. We deserve his punishment. We break his law. Our sinful, selfish inclination to say, my life, my stuff, me, my, and mine. Our selfish inclination to set our mind constantly on the things below, to be only concerned about my life, my health, my stuff, to only want to fulfill my desires, to slander others and speak poorly about them so I feel better about myself, to have anger and wrath, thinking that I am judge and I can fix things like that, to have sexual passions outside of husbands for their wives and wives for their husbands, to lie to one another and to covet. St. Paul calls coveting idolatry. To constantly be saying, I want, I want. We deserve a bad word from Jesus. We deserve for him to take his hands and to pick us up and to say, away from me, you workers of evil. But that is not the last image that we have from Jesus. It is of him lifting up his hands willingly. Bless us. To speak a good word to us. It is a willing lifting up of his hands so that we might always know that he willingly lifted up his hands to pay for all of our debts upon the cross. He chose it so that when he speaks to you, he has a good word from you. And that when he uses his hands, it is to bless you and not to say away from me, but to say, come to me. He has a good word from you. He was first bound and led away to judgment so that he might free you. Jesus first received the curse that we deserve so that his hands could bless us. And we could continue to receive his blessing. While we so often think, my life, my life, my life, he was constantly thinking about your life, your eternal life with him, your fixed relationship with God, your present life of joy that you receive from him that no one can take away. My life, dear saints, how do you finish that? My life is stressful. My life is busy. My life is a mess. My life is lonely. My life is hard. My life is full of grief. That may be true, but that is not the truest thing. That is not the thing that will last. That is not the way the scriptures teach you to talk about your life. The scriptures teach us to say that Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, St. Paul will say, Colossians chapter 3. The scriptures teach us to say that our lives are hidden with Christ in God, Colossians chapter 3. So say things like that. When your health, when your family, when your life, speak the truer words that your life is hidden with Christ in God, that Christ is your life. Keep saying those things. My life is Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. My life is protected. It is covered. It is hidden. My life is hidden with Christ and in God. The picture is, it is a picture of something like that of a hide and seek game. And that the devil and the demons and everything that means for your eternal good are coming to look for you. And when they find you, they want you destroyed. But you are hidden. They can't find you. You are hidden with Christ in God. And when eternal death comes looking for you, you are hidden. You are safely tucked away. You are with Christ in God. You are with him. Your life is hidden with him. No matter all the things that happen in your life, that is the truest thing that you can say. That your Jesus is ascended and that your life is hidden with him. Far above all things that you think hurt you or harm you. You are safe. Your life is safe. Everything about you that is eternal is safe. Christ is ascended. No one can touch him. The death he died once for all, and you are in him. You are hidden in him. You died. You rose. You are baptized, and you will ascend. So set your mind on the things that are above, because in a very mysterious way, that's where your life already is. Look up, dear saints, and look out. I have a picture for you on your bulletin. It was as I was considering Ascension Day this past Sunday, I was at Abundant Life, and I saw this beautiful wood statue that's above the altar there. Right? It's the picture of the ascended Lord Jesus. And he's lifting up his hands to bless them. But that's not everything that's there. It's the ascended Lord Jesus. And he's lifting up his hands to bless them. But he's doing it right above the altar. That's how he's blessing us. And giving us his body to eat and his blood to drink. A good word as you eat and as you drink. How is he blessing you? He's feeding you with life eternal. He's feeding you with himself. Look up, dear saints. And look here. Because the altar is here. And the pulpit is here. And the lectern is here. And Christ's pastors are here. And Jesus' church is here. And the choir is here. And he is helping you glorify God. Your Jesus is not absent. You can look up. And you can look here. Your Jesus has promised where he is to be. Our Luke 24 reading has Jesus opening the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. He's changing the way they think. He's changing the way they understand the scriptures and their life. So look in the readings. Look in the sermon, for it helps you look up. Jesus says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. So where that is then, dear saints, look there. Repent. We are selfish. We set our mind on things below. We too often set our mind on the things of the flesh, and that is bondage, and that is freedom. Repent and be forgiven. You cannot free yourself. Your Jesus has freed you, and he continues to again and again and again. And that evening, Jesus vanished from their sight. Which reminds us of the story of the Emmaus walk, where Jesus is walking with two disciples, and they don't know it's him. And he teaches them their scriptures, and their hearts burn within them, but they don't know it's him until they invite him in and he takes bread and he breaks it. And they know he's there all along. And then he vanishes from their sights. You may not see him, but you hear him. And you receive his body and you receive his blood. To remind you that your life is hidden with Christ in God. And as we look up, Jesus lets us know we can also look out. For he strengthens our love for him, and he also strengthens our love for each other. So have compassionate hearts, be kind, be humble. Be patient. Bear with one another. Forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. For in those things, Jesus is hidden, even in you. And even as you might know that your life is hidden with Jesus toward God. In Jesus' name, amen.